She slid the eggs onto a blue metal plate speckled with white and sat down at the wooden table. She ate quickly, pushing the eggs onto a plastic fork with the forefinger of her left hand, delicately, without thinking, as if he weren't in the room at all. In that moment, he understood somehow that the boyfriend was fiction. She was living here alone. He drank until the straw sputtered dry, water like a dirty river in his throat.
"My parents used to own this place," he said when he finished. "In fact, I still do own it. I have the deed in a safe. Technically, you're trespassing."
She smiled at this and put her fork down carefully in the center of the plate.
"You come here to claim it, then, technically?"
Her hair, her cheeks caught the flickering light. She was so young, yet there was something fierce and strong about her, too, something lonely but determined.
"No."
He thought of his strange journey from an ordinary morning in Lexington, Paul taking forever in the bathroom, and Nora frowning as she balanced the checkbook at the counter, coffee steaming, to the art show and the river, and now here.
"Then why did you come?"
she said, pushing the plate to the middle of the table. Her hands were rough, her fingernails broken. He was surprised that they could have made the delicate, complex paper art that filled the room.
"My name is David Henry McAllister."
His real name, so long unspoken.
"I don't know any McAllisters," she said, "but I'm not from around here."
"How old are you?"
he asked.
15?
16,
she corrected, and then, primly,
16 or 20 or 40, take your pick.
16, he repeated. "I have a son older than you, Paul."
A son, he thought, and a daughter.
"Is that so?"
she said, indifferent. She picked up the fork again, and he watched her eating the eggs, taking such delicate bites and chewing them carefully. And with a sudden powerful rush, he was living another moment in this same house, watching his sister June eat eggs in this same way. It was a year she died, and it was hard for her to sit up at the table, but she did. She had dinner with him every night, lamplight in her blonde hair and her hands moving slowly with deliberate grace.
"Why don't you untie me?"
he suggested softly, his voice hoarse with emotion.
"I'm a doctor. Harmless."
"Right."
She stood and carried her blue metal plate to the sink. She was pregnant, he realized with shock, catching her profile as she turned to take the soap from the shelf. Not very far along, just 4 or 5 months, he guessed.
"Look, I really am a doctor. There's a card in my wallet. Take a look."
She didn't answer, just washed her plate and fork and dried her hands carefully on a towel. David thought how strange it was that he should be here, lying once again in this place where he'd been conceived and born and mostly raised. How strange that his own family should have disappeared so completely, and that this girl, so young and tough and so clearly lost, should have tied him to the bed. She crossed the room and pulled his wallet from his pocket. One by one, she placed his things on the table. Cash, credit cards, the miscellaneous notes, and bits of paper.
"This says photographer,"
she said, reading his card in the wavering light.
"That's right," he said. "I'm that, too. Keep going."
"Okay,"
she said a moment later, holding up his ID.
"So you're a doctor, so what? What difference does that make?"
Her hair was pulled back in a ponytail, and stray wisps fell around her face. She pushed them back over her ear.
"It means I'm not going to hurt you, Rosemary. First, do no harm."
She gave him a quick assessing glance.
"You'd say that no matter what, even if you meant me harm."
He studied her, the untidy hair, the clear, dark eyes.
"There are some pictures," he said, "somewhere here."
He shifted and felt the sharp edge of the envelope through the cloth of his shirt pocket.
"Please, take a look. These are pictures of my daughter. She's just about your age."
When she slipped her hand into his pocket, he felt the heat of her again and smelled her scent, natural but clean. What was sugary, he wondered, remembering his dream and the tray of cream puffs that had passed by at the opening of his show.